Welcome back to Cross the Border. We're going through the Psalms here, so we're going to jump into Psalm 34 in verse 1. A Psalm of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. That's kind of an interesting phrase, when he changed his behavior. The title of this psalm tells us both who penned it and upon what occasion it was penned. David being forced to flee from his country, which was made too hot for him by the rage of Saul, sought shelter as near it as he could in the land of the Philistines. There it was soon discovered who he was, and he was brought before the king, who in the narrative is called Achish, his proper name here, Abimelech, his title. And lest he should be treated as a spy or one that came thither upon design, he feigned himself to be a madman. Such there have been in every age, that even by idiots men might be taught to give God thanks for the use of their reason, that Achish might dismiss him as a contemptible man rather than take cognizance of him as a dangerous man. And it had the effect he desired. By this stratagem he escaped the hand that otherwise would have handled him roughly. So there we have a little commentary from Henry. And we were speaking of getting that eSword program. And while you're over there at e-sword.net, do download the Henry commentary and take advantage of that. That way, if you get stuck on something, I find that Henry can be very helpful with some of the archaic language of the 1600s, which has carried over, and explain it quite thoroughly, having written his commentary shortly after the translation into English. So David, a Psalm of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed, I will bless Yahuwah at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify Yahuwah with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought Yahuwah, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and Yahuwah heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that Yahuwah is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear Yahuwah, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And here we have David in a time of terrible turmoil, driven out of his home, from his family, from all of the comforts of his life. Yet you listen to his words, and he says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek Yahuwah shall not want in any good thing. What is David talking about? How could he say this, knowing the circumstances that he's in? Because his view is eternal. That's why. Because he knows that this life is short. And as the scripture proclaims, it's but a vapor. It appears for a little while, and then it passes away. But forever is a very long time. You know, I feel sorry for people, for all of those out there who have no faith, who have rejected faith for the things of this world and the things that this life has to offer, and they feel rich and fulfilled in those things, but not really. They have that big empty hole that they keep trying to fill with more stuff. But I feel sorry for them because that's all they get. And they don't look forward enough to the point when they die and they have to leave everything that they worked for, that they lived for, that they compromised for, that they caused the suffering of other people for. They have to leave it all behind. They will leave with nothing. All of those things that they loved more than they love the Creator, they will have none of them. Zero. Nothing will they take with them to the grave. It's a terrible thought. So David can say that. We can say it too, regardless of what is going on, because we have that view that's eternal. And we know that the things that we treasure will go with us, because the things that we treasure are not of this world, because we love the Creator more than we love the creation, and we love our neighbor as we love ourselves according to God's law, because we love God first. Remember those two great commandments. When Yahshua was asked, what is the great commandment? He said, love God. And he said, the second one is like unto it, love your neighbors yourself. And it has to be in that order, or it's all wrong. Because only he can teach us how to love properly. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of Yahuwah. And you know, that is part of the fear. The fear is you are going to die. And you're going to lose everything. And what will you gain? Well, you'll gain the things that you can't take with you, that you cherished. Suffering, if you sowed suffering, you'll reap suffering. If you sowed violence, well, you'll reap violence. Envy, strife, lust, all of those things that you sowed in this life to get all of the things to satisfy your love of the creation more than the Creator. Yes, you'll have all of that forever in eternity. You'll have unsatisfied lust forever in eternity. You'll have all of the hatred you can wallow in, and all of the suffering will come back on you that you plagued others with, that you wished on others. Yes, all of the murders that you participated in by supporting abortion. That's right. It's all going to come back on you. That's a terrible thought. He says, come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of Yahuwah. And that is the fear of Yahuwah. It's plain in the scripture. A lot of people comfort themselves that they don't have to deal with that God of the Old Testament, that God of judgment. While the New Testament says, fear not him who can kill the body, but fear him who can cast both body and soul into hell. He is the same God. Don't comfort yourself with false assurances. Learn the fear of Yahuwah, the fear of the Lord, our Creator. Verse 12, chapter 34. What man is he that desireth life, that loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil, and do good. Seek peace, and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of Yahuwah is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The time will come when no one will remember you. And just think about it. People have spent their life pursuing things to fulfill the lusts of their flesh. Who cares after they're gone? Who cares after they're dead? They live no more, and they're just going to the hell and then to the judgment, where they will receive their sentence, where they will pay the price for their sins in death. And it won't be a comforting death either. It won't be a death of non-existence, as many comfort themselves with. It will be a terrible death, and it will be a death that will last forever, because indeed you reap what you sow, and there is no escaping that. So he is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Verse 17, the righteous cry, and Yahuwah heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. And we will be delivered out of all our troubles. If not in this life, in the life to come, there will be no trouble for us. And I'll tell you, I look forward to that day when there will be no trouble. I love his appearing. And I'm trying just to call as many as I can to join me, to cross the border into the kingdom of heaven, where he is the king, where his law is supreme, where we desire to have his law written upon our minds and in our hearts, that we might not sin against him, that we could live a life that is pleasing to our Heavenly Father, because we love him. And why do we love him? Because he loved us first. He loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son so that we could have everlasting life. He is near. Verse 18. Yahuwah is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. It doesn't say you won't have a broken heart. It says he's near to those that are of a broken heart, and save us such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. If anyone tells you the lie, says, oh, just accept Jesus and your life will be good, you won't have to worry about a thing. You know, I think that may be an agent of Satan would whisper something like that in your ear, because what he wants you to do is run and reject God and accuse him when the affliction comes. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but Yahuwah delivereth him out of them all. Well, we may not like his timetable for delivering us, and those afflictions are there just to try our faith, but stand fast, endure till the end, and be saved, because forever is a long time. This life is very short, and he will deliver us out of them all. He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. They will be desolate. Our enemies, those who continue to hate the righteous, those who will not repent, but set about to persecute and destroy the righteous, they shall be desolate. Yahuwah redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. And of course, desolate means destruction, means to perish. We're in Psalms chapter 35, a psalm of David. Plead my cause, Yahuwah, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. See what our good friend Henry has to say here. David in this psalm appeals to the righteous judge of heaven and earth against his enemies that hated and persecuted him. It is supposed that Saul and his party are the persons he means, for with them he had the greatest struggles. He complains to God of the injuries they did him. They strove with him. He fought against them, persecuted him, and sought his ruin, and accused him falsely, abused him basely, and all his friends, and triumphed over him. And he pleads his own innocency, that he never gave them any provocation. So he says, plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler, and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear, and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of Yahuwah chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause they have hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon him unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch him. Into that very destruction let him fall, and my soul shall be joyful in Yahuwah. It shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which deliverest the poor from him that is too strong? For him, yea, the poor and the needy, from him that spoileth him. False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. But in mine adversity they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. Yea, the abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me and ceased not. And, you know, here's a great warning against rejoicing in the adversity of others, and especially you out there that rejoice in the adversity of the righteous when they're being persecuted by the wicked. I would be much afraid if I were you. The problem with those people is they are not afraid at all. They have no fear whatsoever. At least they don't show any. I believe deep down inside they're hiding that fear. They need to repent, every single one of them. Chapter 35 and verse 16. With hypocritical mockers in feast, they gnashed upon me with their teeth. Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from the lions. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Let not them that are my enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land. Yea, they opened their mouth wide against me, and said, Aha, aha, our eye hath seen it. This thou hast seen, O Yahuwah, keep not silence. O Lord, be not far from me. Stir up thyself and awake to my judgment, even to my cause, my God and my Lord. Judge me, O Yahuwah, my God, according to thy righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, Ah, so would we have it. Let them not say, We have swallowed him up. Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together that rejoice at mine hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against me. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, Let Yahuwah be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Chapter 36 and verse 1. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, There is no fear of God before his eyes. Henry says, It is uncertain when and upon what occasion David penned the psalm. Probably when he was struck at either by Saul or Absalom. And of course, Saul being the first king of Israel, who persecuted David after David became popular for slaying, and they sang the Song of David, that Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s or something like that. And Saul became jealous of David and pursued him and wanted to kill him. And of course, we have a totally different situation with his son Absalom. So we have a wide disparity of time here. For Henry doesn't know whether David penned the psalm on which occasion. Sometimes we can guess and sometimes we can't, but he doesn't seem to want to take a stab at it here. So we'll talk about Absalom. Absalom, of course, was the son of David, was a son of David. And this was after, of course, David sinned with Bathsheba and the curse. Yes, the curse as a punishment for his sin. He would not lose his soul or his salvation. He continued to be the man after God's own heart. And to be a man after God's own heart requires that if we do sin, or if we sin greatly, then we need to suffer for that sin even more greatly. Unfortunate, but true. And when we get back, we'll talk a little bit more about how Absalom has anything to do with the suffering and the punishment that was pronounced upon David by Yahuwah through the prophet. We'll be back after some messages and the news.